money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm always ready to talk money.
She is always ready to talk money. You heard it here first. Reb is always ready to talk money. And if you ask our kids, if you were to do a poll, they would also
They would back that up. Yeah.
It's terrible in our house. Welcome to the show. This is a show where we talk about the hard issues around money. And Reb, I think after 18 years of doing More Than Enough and 8 years of doing the podcast, I've got it converted, like a conversion.
You've converted me into a money talker.
Wow. So a day of celebration here at Let's Talk Money with Dave and Reb.
Okay. Let's not hear you. I want to hear our guest.
Okay. Yes, we have a very special guest. If you're on YouTube, you already are able to see him. If you're listening, we're going to keep you in suspense a little bit longer because I have some housekeeping to do. And we like to get that right out of the way before we get into our conversation. So here's the housekeeping. If you're listening on 99.1 CHRI in the Ottawa area, then welcome. Keep your hands on the wheel. If you're sitting at home and listening, then great. Pull up to the table, grab a coffee. We love to engage in the conversation. Please feedback through YouTube, through your podcasting platform, whether it's Spotify, whether it's iTunes, whether it's Podbean, all of the podcasting platforms, they all feedback to us and we love your feedback. So here we are. All housekeeping's done. Nothing else to add to
sponsor,
that.
Sponsor, today's sponsor.
See, this is good. We have today's sponsor. And our guest is kind of connected to our sponsorship. The sponsor today is notmine.ca or Financial Discipleship Canada. You can visit them at notmine.ca. And
I think he's the reason, our guest is the reason that Financial Discipleship Canada exists.
Well,
other than the Lord.
He can speak to that, I guess. Let's introduce our guest. So we've got a sponsor and we've got a guest. So Lauren Jackson, welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you here.
Dave, Reb, it's great to be here. This is a special privilege.
Well, you know what? I couldn't get Ray back in the seat today, so we went right to the top.
Get the big guy, you took second best.
No. You're at the top of the line, Lauren. Anyway, but let's explain why we're saying all this.
Let's make that connection. So, Lauren Jackson, you are the president of the Canadian National Christian Foundation. Have I got that right?
You do.
Awesome.
Very well. Very
and good. So to make the connection, the Canadian National Christian Foundation has a ministry under it called Financial Discipleship Canada. And Ray is the executive director or the ministry liaison. We always bug him about his title. But
we can never get it right.
So Ray is connected to one of the ministries that the Canadian National Christian Foundation supports and sponsors. Is that right? Have I got that right?
Yes, even more than that. Ray works for CNCF as well, for the Canadian National Christian Foundation.
Right.
Day-to-day work, but he also does a lot of podcasts and work for the Financial Discipleship Canada, which we call it CNCF and FDC.
Yeah, yes. There we go.
Yeah, for
always
short.
Always got to have the little acronyms, right?
We'll just use the acronyms for the rest of the show.
Yeah,
yes.
It's kind of like using CHRI, you know?
Yeah. That's fair enough. Yes. All right.
Yes. So, shall we start with a verse? Or do we want to just have Lauren?
Lauren, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Because then you're going to share the verse that really has been your life verse, which is behind the Canadian National Christian Foundation, I think.
Well, Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who dwell in it." Mm. And I always sum that up with these words. It all belongs to God, or God owns it all.
Mm.
And I think that's kind of how I grew up. I grew up actually in the Winchester area.
Yeah, my hometown. So yeah,
so very close to here, yeah. And grew up on a dairy farm. And Yeah, I was still awake at 5:30 this morning, just like when I used to pick up the go get the cows. So I like to get over that, but it hasn't worked.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I grew up in a home where giving was just natural. That was what my parents did. I grew up, the first dollar I ever made, I tithed off it because my dad told me that's what I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And continued to grow in that. But it wasn't until well into my adulthood that I kind of realized this thing that really God owns it all, not just 10%. He owns 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then I wrote a book about it called After the Faith Decision, All Else is Stewardship. Mm-hmm. And I really think that's where it's at. Well, and I think that's what Psalm 24:1 says, that once we become a Christian, then we recognize that God owns it all. He always did own it all. We just didn't recognize it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that was very helpful for me as I figured that one out. And then I decided one day, we should have a book about this that talks about stewardship in a way that's more than money. Mm. Because it's not just about the money.
No.
Money is just an outward sign of what's going on in the heart. But there's a whole lot more to it. So,
right. Which is what we like to talk about on the show a lot of the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
So did you write the book before starting the CNCF Foundation?
No. So I was in the for-profit world as a broker-dealer in the financial services sector, owned that for a number of years, then sold that and left there in 2001. And I was like, so what am I going to do now? And I just knew that the Lord had something for me. I wasn't sure what it was. A year later, I started the Canadian National Christian Foundation and still serve as a volunteer president to that organization yet today. And I love what I do. Because I get to talk to people that are very generous people that are doing their giving through the foundation. And it's just been a joy for me. It not only encourages me, it keeps me younger. Even though I maybe not look it, for those of you who can see me.
And we actually, it's the day of the recording. It's actually your birthday today, the day of the recording. So you
we
know.
Are pretty honored that you took some time out to come and visit on your birthday.
Yes,
so that's
sure.
pretty good.
We won't tell them how old you are, but but it keeps you younger. So what do you do? What does the CNCF do?
Yeah.
So we are a public foundation. We're registered right across Canada, so federally chartered. We have many donors who use us. So I would say CNCF is kind of like a flow-through organization that can flow money from a donor to a charity. Now, you might say, well, why would they do that? Why don't they just give it directly to the charity? Well, many times that's the better way. Mm-hmm. But let's put it this way. Let's suppose that somebody sold a piece of property. Maybe they have a huge tax issue that year, but they're going, I remember a guy in Alberta called me one day and he said, I have just sold my business. I have to give away $2 million before the end of the year. And he said, that was in November. He said, if I give you some public stock, can you get me a receipt before year end? I said, yeah, that would be no problem. So he did that and put the $2 million in the foundation. Doesn't always have to be that big.
Right, yeah.
But because he had sold a business, he had this huge tax issue, and he put the $2 million in the foundation. But it took him about 4 years to give that out, to grant that out to charities. Mm-hmm. But the key was he got his receipt immediately while he needed it in that calendar year, because it was November, and he's thinking, I don't even know where I want to give this yet.
Right.
So it worked to serve him. So we have people who use it for that kind of thing. Another one came to us because they wanted to give anonymously. They found out that they actually had their own foundation, this organization, but they said, when we give out of our foundation, anybody can go on the CRA website and see anything they want. But if we give it through you guys, we can do it anonymously. And that's how we wanted to do this.
Wow.
So I've learned to say public foundations are very private with your information. Private foundations are very public because it's out there in the CRA website that anybody can see.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so of course, one of the things, and I'm hoping you get to the third one, which is the regular you know, man or woman who at the end of life, again, as we know, statistically, 50% of Canadians don't have a will. And we're on a little bit of a push here at the show to say, please go get something written down. But speak to that idea of why or how the foundation can facilitate giving through your will. Because I think that resonates with a lot of our clients is like, why would I use a foundation? And this is.
And even maybe before I do that, I'll say we also have some families who use the foundation.
Right.
That they would maybe put, I don't know, a couple $1,000s in there. And then they sit every year with their kids and say, okay, what are we going to grant this out to? So it's a great way to teach stewardship to their kids so that the kids are now involved in, oh, yeah, we're going to give this to help some kids in Africa or whatever it is they're giving to.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be a large amount to be there. Also, yes, the estates is a big issue. And it can be very beneficial to use a foundation in your charitable giving for your estate. And you're right. In fact, I saw a Google survey from 2023 said 52% of Canadians over the age of 18 do not have a will.
Right.
Yeah. And that number has, it's been like around that percent for decades.
And the sad part is they do have a will. It's just a really bad one because every province has a rule. Don't ever think that the government would allow you to pass away and not have a way to deal with all your stuff.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they have a way. Yeah. It's just that you don't really want the courts telling your heirs how it's going to go. So that's why you need to have a will, of course. But I think we have a lot of people who use the foundation for their estate giving. And some of the advantages to that is you could name CNCF for your charitable giving in your estate, but then you could have a letter of direction on file with us that says, here's the five charities I want you to give that to.
Yep.
Now, here's the advantage. Let's suppose one of those charities is their church, but maybe they changed churches over the years of their life. Seems to happen a lot these days. So they change churches and they go, well, okay, now I'd have to go. And if I put the church in my will, I would have to go and change my will. But because I named CNCF as the beneficiary of the charitable giving and my church is only named with CNCF, you just go on our website and change who you want to give it to. So there's no cost. There's no hassle with that. Mm-hmm. So it's much easier to have it coming to us and then have it distributed through us to the charities that you want to give to. So that's how estates work.
That's pretty cool.
When you started this, you've grown, like this is 20 years you've been doing this work?
23
years. I mean, did you wake up one morning with a dream to start this? Did God just gently nudge you? Where did you come up with the need for this?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I certainly did not have a dream about this. In fact, when I set it up, I said I didn't want to run it. I was going to get somebody else to run it. And a couple of my buddies, Larry Bruin and Jamie Wiley at the time was my lawyer, both said, I think you're supposed to run this, Lauren. And I said, no, that'd be boring. I don't want to do that. I'll see what the Lord has for me once we get this set up. So we set it up and got it started. And then all of a sudden, because I was just seeing it, all you're going to do is watch people put money in there and big deal, this is going to be boring. But now I find that I'm out meeting with donors across the country. I was in Alberta a week ago meeting with people there. And it's just generous people that love the Lord, want to serve his people around the world. Mm. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. And again, you just from a foundation standpoint, I mean, I'm just putting myself in that, Lauren, but you also get to see a lot of money go to God's work. You get to kind of be in that front line to say, hey, we just gave X number of dollars to this charity in the last year. And you see the work that charity is doing. So you kind of get a front row seat on to participate with the donor who's making all those choices, but you get to participate with them in celebrating what God's doing literally around the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And we actually have hundreds of donors who use the foundation from right across Canada. And so, for example, last year we had 52 million came into the foundation, 48 million went out. So a lot of the money that comes into CNCF is like the person that's putting in $2,000 and they gave it all out the same year.
Right.
So that's pretty typical of, we're kind of unusual that way.
Right. Yeah. Pretty neat. Pretty neat. Now, want to go back a little bit to thinking about the people that are listening and saying, so, step number one is figure out a will and what that looks like. Like, do you guys help with that at all? Do you ask the question, like, just kind of figuring out how CNCF might help the people that are listening?
Yeah, so we can actually help them with an estate plan where not much planning is done. Forbes magazine did a survey back a few years ago, and they found that, this blows me away every time, 70% of estates failed to meet the objectives of those who left it behind. 70%. And I go, how could it be so bad? Well, I think it's so bad because they walked into their lawyer's office and they did a will, however they did it, or they wrote it at home. Mm-hmm. But there was no thought given to how is that going to affect my kids? What's the tax on the cottage that we were giving them? What about all those kind of, my RSP, all those kind of things? So we can do plans that help them. That's first. Secondly, I often recommend, people will say to me, well, I haven't done a will yet because it's so expensive. Mm. Yeah. Well, you know how expensive it's going to be if you go into probate and means you die without a will? Mm-hmm. Then it is expensive.
Yeah.
But there's another way to do it, and that we use legalwills.ca/AWP. So if a person just goes on www.legalwills.ca/AWP, which stands for Advisors with Purpose, which is also us, then you could do a will. You can do double wills and powers of attorney online for less than $100.
Right.
So I'm just thinking, okay, now it's really inexpensive to have a will. So at least do that. And then you go through that, you answer some questions, print it off, and you take it to somebody, a notary, and have it witnessed, two witnesses. So you got a will and you got it in place and it didn't cost you $100.
Yeah. And I think it's really important. Again, we're huge on just doing the plan, making it, you know, if you can't find $100, we'll help with that too. Right. So that's part of what we do at More Than Enough is to say, hey, let's make sure that if this is important and it is important, let's get that $100. Let's make sure you do that. But then as well, as you said, so even if you start with that and then you come to CNCF and say, okay, I'm going to hand you what I've done to your estate planners and say, they're going to walk you through some questions and they're going to say, have you considered this? Consider this. And of course, here to your point, they know some of the tax implications. They're very aware of, that's a good idea. And here's correct. Some of the considerations you might want to do to say, you're not leaving, you know, you're not just, hey, here's all the money I think I have, and I'm splitting this four ways or two ways between my kids. And they'll walk you through some of the tax implications that.
Yeah. And help you figure out things like, so how much is enough? There's an important question.
Yeah.
So how much is enough for me to retire on, or how much is enough for my lifestyle today? What would God have me to live as a lifestyle? And maybe my income rose not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving.
Right, right.
And if that's the case, then I need to know, what should I be giving to? And what would be the best assets to give to charity if I was giving out of my will? There's a good thought. Mm-hmm. And we can help with all those kind of things.
Yeah. And again, answering that question, you know, how much is enough leads to, well, can I start doing some giving now while I'm alive? It's not just an end of life thing, but it's wait a minute, I didn't. And I've had this conversation with a number of people that having gone through that process, realized I can give a lot more money when I'm away, like not only to charities that I love, but I can give more time and I can give more energy. We had Mark Young on the show.
I was just thinking that.
And he actually said the same thing.
So, in the last 2 weeks, we had a very interesting conversation about retirement with Mark Young, and he created a spreadsheet so that people could plug in their retirement numbers, when would be the best time to take OAS.
It's a wonderful tool.
Was saying that as he's been meeting with people, they're realizing that they can give more than they thought. They were just afraid that in their retirement they couldn't. And all of a sudden, with the numbers right out spread in front of them, they're seeing that they can. And that I think maybe is a surprising thing that we need to consider as we age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I think going back to that question, how much is enough? I think it may be the second most important question in life.
Mm.
The most important question is who do you say Jesus is? Mm. So now, if I say Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, what's going to fight with lordship?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said it was going to be money.
Yeah.
Money and possessions. So if I don't answer how much is enough, then I've got that battle going on that Jesus is really maybe not Lord, maybe money's Lord because I'm looking for more, more, more.
Right.
So I think that's a very important question to answer. And I encourage our advisors when you're working with somebody to help them look at that question. Whatever age they are, young or old, mm-hmm. how much is enough? And mm-hmm. do I have more than enough? If so, let's start to give it away now.
Yeah.
Help your kids now.
Yeah.
We've done that. Help our kids now so that they don't have big mortgages hung around their neck. Mm-hmm. But they're not getting much when we're gone. They already know that. We've told them that.
Sure. Yeah. And I've heard you say, you know, do your giving while you're living. I've heard you say that a numerous times in our conversations.
So you're knowing where it's going.
I was just going to say there's an end to that too. So you're knowing where it's going.
You know, I remember having you on. I still can't believe we've been doing this for 8 years, but you've been on our show before. I don't know what year it was, but I remember you saying, and I quote you often with people, tell your kids what your plan is.
Yes.
And let them know because, we've been hearing so many stories where it's gone so badly because people don't know how to talk about it or won't or are scared to. And I remember you saying, you tell them the plan. You're not asking your kids permission.
That's right.
You're telling them. And I have used that on many.
Now, does that work with spouses too?
Well, you should be making those decisions together, Dave.
Don't you teach on unity, Dave, in your relationship?
I just thought I'd throw that one in to say,
just needling me today. But to be able to talk with your kids and say, this is what's important to me.
It's very important. The family meeting is really important. I say they should not find out you're giving to charity at the reading of your will. That's a really bad idea.
Yeah.
Right. They should know that ahead of time. And I'm not saying they need to say, here's how many dollars you're going to get, because you don't know that. Mm-hmm. That's going to change. The dollar's values change all the time. But what you could be doing is saying, well, we're giving, we got three kids, we're giving 25% to each kid and 25% to charity, if that's what they were doing.
Right.
So at least the kids know, okay, where do I fit in this thing?
Yeah.
And they're not shocked at the will reading that, what? They gave, mom and dad gave to charity?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I think, you know, as we come to the end of the show, I mean, this is one of the lessons I've learned from working with CNCF, and it was, you know, a lot of the giving, the things that are close to our heart while we're alive, while we're doing our giving while we're living, in the year of your death, that's actually the year where your capacity to give may actually exponentially grow. And so you're going, wait a minute, when I do that end of life kind of summary and say, this is what my estate looks like. Well, that's the most amount of money that I ever thought I had to steward. I didn't even realize how much that was.
Yeah.
And here I'm not around to steward it. I'm actually not there.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really important process to go through here now and go, wow, like, answers the question of how much is enough.
Yes.
But also going all the way back to where we started with stewardship and going, if we don't do this exercise, there's a large gap in our stewardship. And in my conversations with many people, you know, stewardship's an important thing. Lots of people want to be good stewards. Like, you know, that's on our hearts as believers to do that. But there's an opportunity here that just hasn't been considered. And so I'm really grateful that we get to have this conversation today because I think it's so important. So,
well, I think Jesus said that that where your money is, there your heart will be also. But just before that, he said, do not lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But then he said, but do this, lay up treasures in heaven. How do we do that?
Yeah.
We can. Randy Alcorn kind of sums that up. He's an author and speaker. And Randy says, you can't take it with it, but you can send it on ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every time you do a stewardship act, whether it's giving of money, time, talents, your relationships that you have with people, time in God's word, all those things are about stewardship. Mm-hmm. And every one of those is sending it on ahead. Mm-hmm. And one of the scriptures on the poor says that when you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord. I always say, that's who I want to lend to.
Yeah.
Because it says the Lord will repay you. Okay, I'm going to get repaid. This is good. Yeah. So, I think...
In this life or the next, by the way, right?
You know, and again, it doesn't mean it's going to be cash. It might be a great family situation, which, by the way, I live in, and I just love every day. I just have a ball. So.
Yeah. No, it's so good.
So what would you say? I'm thinking of people who in this climate are stressed and tired, and we say this at More Than Enough, you know, financial awareness creates empowerment. Face your finances, make a plan with the Lord. What would you say to encourage people that this plan is important?
Well, I think the first one is a very growing relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because the world we live in today is such a mess. Mm-hmm. And if we're not staying close to the Lord, we could start to get sidetracked by all of the scary stuff that's going on around us, mm-hmm. wars and all that.
Yeah.
But God's got it under control. He's not sitting up there going, oh my goodness, Canada's going off the rails here. I didn't know this was going to happen. Oh, yeah. He knows everything. Mm-hmm. In fact, he can use all those things for our benefit, even though it might not seem like our benefit at the time.
Yeah.
So I would just say, stay close to the Lord. Stay in God's word, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of peace in God's word. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking lately, I'm going to do a study on fear not, how many fear nots there are in the Lord, right. In the Bible, rather, because there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
So I think if we stay close to God and his word, and then, as you said, look after your finances, know the condition of your flock, Psalm says, the psalmist said, know the conditions of your flock. Well, what's that mean? That means you should know what your financial situation is, so that you don't get any bad surprises. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to your estate, we can also help you with that. And there's no cost for you to do that.
I was just going to say, and kind of in a bit of summary, just to put this in context. So we talked about you can do a will for $100. There's no cost to do the kind of the estate planning, except for the costs of time. So maybe 2 or 3 hours, would that be?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay.
Yeah, over 2 or 3 different interviews.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. By Zoom.
Right?
Yes. So you don't have to leave your home. We're making it as easy as possible.
We're in the context of, you know, how many hours there are in a week, in a month, in a year, and going, this is important for our stewardship. It's an important part of our faith. It's an important part of taking care of the things on this earth. And it's an important part of figuring out what we can, as you said, send on ahead, what things can be sent on ahead. And we're talking $100 and 3 hours. So there it is, folks. That's the challenge. I'm pointing right to you, the person that says it's too complicated.
And then a conversation with your family, which might be the hardest of all.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So maybe double the hours. It's now 6 hours. So really, I mean, that sums up what, in a sense, from a what we need to invest now to take care of this idea of what is it, whether it's doing my giving while I'm living, or whether it's sending it on ahead and preparing for that in that end of life. It's not a lot of money and it's not a lot of time, but it is so much benefit. Amen. So much benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I think we're pretty
close to the end. Will, how many more minutes do we have?
He says, wrap it up. So why don't you pray, Reb?
Father, thank you so much for Lorne, and bless him this year and for all the work he does with his team at CNCF. Lord, may we be aware, may we take action, may we lean into you and learn about you more. Lord, grant us this grace in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lauren, for being here.
Thank you, guys. This has been fun.
Okay. Thank you for sponsoring today's show through notmindale.ca.
Happy to do that.
Awesome. And thank you for joining us, and join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.